Ephesians 4 and verse number 7. Let's stand together and read verses 7 and 8. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto all men. This is our seventh message in our series on the spiritual Christian life, and no such series would be complete without some consideration of what the Bible teaches concerning our spiritual gifts. Now, many believers do not know that God has given to them more than salvation. They know that their sins are forgiven. They know they have a home in heaven. But they do not know that God has given them more than that. But the Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God wants us to understand what He has given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that many Christians do not serve the Lord because they do not believe that there's anything they can really do for the Lord in the church. And if they really understood their place in God's plan and what God has given them to use for His glory, I believe that many more would find the confidence they need to try and serve God in some capacity. When God called me to preach, I resisted for about a year because I did not think that I, who was the scaredest cat, Brother Rob said it at the church last week, he said Brother James was afraid of his own shadow. He was a scaredy cat, and I was. And to think of standing in front of others and delivering a sermon was the most terrifying thought I could think of. But God kept impressing upon my heart that what He called me to do, He would also equip me to do. I think that many would surrender to do God's will for their life if they had confidence that God has given them exactly what they need to do God's will for their life. God has a purpose for each of us in the church body and has equipped each of us for that purpose. That may not be a spotlight ministry. It may not even have a title. But it will be an important part of the church body. You know, titles and jobs are not everything in the church. You know, everything can't be cubbyholed into a specific church ministry with a job description and a title. Now, when I was a young preacher, I thought that everything, you know, had to be in a certain place, a certain ministry, a certain title. You're a Sunday school teacher, you're a bus worker, you sing in the choir, you're a deacon, you're a trustee. But as a pastor, what I have learned is that not all church ministry falls into a church ministry. That as God's people serve inside the church, their various spiritual gifts come out and help the body to function whether there is a title given or not. Now honestly, what ministry title does Miss Eunice have in the church? But can you imagine our church without Miss Eunice? See, God has given her certain spiritual gifts, though she does not have a title that says Miss Eunice Sunday School Teacher. Yet Miss Eunice, through her spiritual gifts and her kindness and what she is as a person that God has made her, makes her a valuable, indispensable part of this church body. And by the way, you can't gauge someone's entire ministry by their title. What Brother Camp means to this church is more than just music director. What Mrs. Dart means to this church is more than just Sunday school teacher. What Brother Parks means to this church cannot be put in a title, you see. And so it's important for us to understand that just because pastor has not given you a job title does not mean that you do not have a ministry or a part of this church, because you do. You're part of the body. And God has given you certain gifts that enable this body as a church to function more effectively. And so that's something that the Lord has taught me over the years. And to me, it was a very illuminating thing to understand. Perhaps you've known it all along, but you never told me, so I had to learn it on my own. Now, God has a purpose for us. Your spiritual life will not progress as it should without understanding and exercising your spiritual gifts in the church. Let me give you some thoughts on this first. We must not be ignorant concerning what the Bible teaches the biblical guidelines for spiritual gifts. Now, there are many false doctrines out there concerning spiritual gifts. Of course, we know the preeminent one would be speaking in tongues, which is not the biblical version of speaking in tongues. But there are the charismatic movement is full of all kinds of gifts that are false gifts and people searching after things that God has not promised them. Now, let me point out, I think, 8 thoughts concerning this, some guidelines concerning spiritual gifts. Number one, spiritual gifts come with the gift of salvation. Now, some teach that these gifts are secondary, that they're kind of a second blessing you get later. But no, they come at the very moment of salvation. Ephesians 4:7 says, "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, when you got saved, you got a bunch of things. You got a big package of gifts. You got eternal life. God hath given us eternal life. You got the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's the gift of God. And He lives within us. Now, God did not measure out salvation to you. He didn't give you just part of it. Everyone got the same measure of salvation. And everyone got the same measure of the Holy Spirit. Well, I just got more Holy Spirit than you. No, you don't. No, sir. Well, I got a second helping. No, you didn't. Because every saved person got the exact same Holy Spirit living inside. Same person lives in us who are saved. Now, He may get more of you than others are willing to give, but you don't get more of the Holy Spirit. Now, spiritual gifts are different in that He does measure them out distinctly to us, different gifts to different people, and sometimes in extra measure. I do think some, you have some that are 10 talents and 5 talents and 1 talent. There are some that God has given super abilities to and He expects more from. And He gives some 10, some 5, some 1. But He gives all of us some spiritual gifts that came at the point of salvation. Now, number 2, these gifts are to be dedicated to Christ's service. God doesn't give us gifts for our own selfish profit. He gave them to us to be dedicated and employed in the church. Selfishness destroys the church. If you're selfish, you're withholding from the church the gifts God gave you to use in the church. That's not why God gave you those gifts. All right, number 3, we must recognize our gifts and employ them for Christ's cause. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Are you a good steward of what God has given you? Now, I may not be the best preacher on earth. I know I'm not the. I may not even be a very good preacher, but I do try to be a good steward of whatever talent God's given me. Are you trying, are you striving to be a good steward of the gift that God has given you? That brings us to number 4, that gifts must be exercised and developed. They must be exercised and developed. Having a gift from God is not like getting a superpower in a comic book. It's like, oh, I'm saved. Wow, I can see through walls. I can fly. I can shoot webs out my hands. That's not the kind of gifts. They're not superpowers. They are abilities God gives us. They're graces that must be developed. They're much more like muscle than anything else. You know, muscle has to be developed. You got to get out there and lift weights or push-ups or sit-ups and all that stuff that, you know, some people do. Now, they've got to be exercised and developed. You know, what God gives you is something that's raw and must be put to use. You know, God called me to preach, and that enabling, understanding that by faith gave me the courage to surrender and to submit to going to college and learning how to. But my first couple of years of preaching was nothing special. You say, your last few haven't been either. I know, but I mean, I get up there and stammer along because I had to learn. Preaching's not something that God just all of a sudden turns you into Charles Spurgeon. You've got to practice, and you've got to learn how to develop good sermons, and you've got to learn how to stand and deliver, and you've got to learn how to study the Scripture so that you have something to say. So that's a gift, yes, but it must be developed and skills must be added so that you can become an effective Sunday school teacher, an effective servant of the Lord in whatever God wants you to do. Number five, we must not neglect our gifts. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. That was told to a young preacher. He said, don't neglect the gift. Use it or lose it. If God has given you a gift and you go month after month, year after year of not using it, you'll be like a guy that never develops his muscles. There's no strength there. We must not neglect our gifts. They diminish when they are not used. Has God allowed you to, given you a nice voice, then why aren't you using it? Has God given you an outgoing personality, then why aren't you using it? Has God given you a call into the ministry, why aren't you using it? You see, we must not neglect our gifts. Number six. Moving right along, aren't we? Number six. If you know how much further we had to go, you wouldn't be so excited. Number six. We must not become obsessed with gifts or with gifted people. Now that's what happened in Corinth. They were all trying to outdo each other who had the most gifts, especially in tongues. Man, I can speak 10 languages. And the guy's over here praying in Portuguese. No one understands him, but he's showing off that he can pray in Portuguese. And maybe others were doing a false version of it, making up languages to try to... None of you know this language. And Paul had to correct them that they were zealous for spiritual gifts, but they were lacking charity. They were dividing the church. They thought they had all these spiritual abilities, but they were not spiritual at all. They were carnal and divisive and fleshly. So the church must not become obsessed. In other words, we must not have the American Idol syndrome, where we elevate talent, but we don't respect character. The superstars of the church, listen please, the superstars of the church should be the servants, not just those who have unusual talents. Number seven, gifts without spirituality can be dangerous in the church. In other words, as in Corinth, people that are gifted and talented but carnal. See this the most in music ministry. Brother Campbell, amen that. Charles Spurgeon called his music department the war department. Because there's all kinds of people wanted to sing and they had natural talent, but they were so carnal, they're always fighting and fussing about the music. And sometimes people are they're very talented in singing, but they won't submit to church guidelines. Or they're very talented in singing, but they can't show up for church half the time. Or they're very talented in singing, but they're living in sin outside the church. But they want to come in and sing and stand in the spotlights and be heard and applauded, but there's carnality at the base of it. It's far better to be spiritual. And it's far less dangerous. You know, Korah was a gifted man. You don't get that many thousands of people to follow you unless you're a talented man. He had leadership ability. But what did he do? He used it to go against God's man instead of using it to support God's man, Moses. It's important for us to realize that talents without spirituality can be dangerous. And the last thing we must recognize is that certain gifts are no longer being given. God gave certain things to the early church that were signs and evidence supporting their message before the New Testament was completed. There was a time when God did do miraculous healings on display. There was a time when men spoke and people heard in their heart language what they were saying in their language, but they were hearing it in another. That actually happened. But that doesn't happen today. Those were called sign gifts. They passed away with the completion of the New Testament. And they are no longer in practice. And when someone says they're in practice, check out the gospel they're preaching. You usually will find a false gospel behind it. Now, what are the gifts? Now, if you're taking notes, you might write down Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to stop through each of these and say, all right, here's a verse. You can read these passages later. What I'm going to tell you is what I believe are various gifts that I've seen in the church from my own experience and from the Word of God, and to see just some different aspects that God gives to bless His church. One is the gift to teach. Some people are very gifted, not only in understanding truth from the Word of God, but then taking it and being able to deliver it to others in a manner so that they also understand the Word of God. That's not easy. You know, there's some very brilliant people that know a lot of knowledge, but they could not put a lesson together and deliver it to others to save their life. That's not a slight on them. I believe God does gift some the ability to teach so that they can understand the Word of God and convey it to others so that they also can understand the Word of God. And I thank God for the good Sunday school teachers in our church that are obviously gifted at working with children and teenagers and adults and being a blessing with their gift to teach. I think there's also the gift of shepherding. And that is the ability to influence others in the church, to lead, to naturally care about. They just kind of naturally want to corral people in and get them involved in church, and they just have a natural tendency to look out for others and care about their spiritual well-being. Would you agree with me that a pastor should have that gift? Yes. And that not all who are called to preach are called to pastor. And there's some men I know that are called to preach, they couldn't care less about anybody. They just want to get up and preach and that's it. But there's that gift of shepherding, that desire to watch over the flock and to help people in their needs and to guide them in the Word of God. Good Sunday school teachers have this gift. Good bus captains have this gift. Unfortunately, sometimes people have the desire but not the gift, and sometimes they end up causing more trouble than help because they want to corral everybody, but they want to act like the church police officer instead of the pastor trying to help people. And that's usually not a good thing. Well, let me move on. I'm a little bit out of time because Joe preached too long. Now, there's also the gift of helps. Those are the folks who are always ready to help. Now everyone ought to help. But there's just some people that you can always count on them. They're going to jump in and they're going to help out. And how do you know who has the gift of helps? Look to see who's helping. They're just there. They're not the ones leaving early all the time. They're the ones staying and helping out. They're the ones who, when a couple needs to move their apartment downstairs, and elderly couple in our church, they're the ones who say, "I'll show up on Saturday and help out." By the way, thank God for all of you that showed up to help the Thorntons move their stuff. I heard about that and I was encouraged that so many would come out and help while I was out of town and I could not help, but y'all were there to help them. What a blessing that is. That's the gift of helps. There's the gift of discernment. That's the ability to see clearly, sense danger, and take the long look and act with wisdom. Discernment. Sometimes I'll mention something to my wife, and in a split second, she has already seen the problem with it, what I could not see thinking about it for a long time. Discernment. There are times when she mentions something to me, and in just a second, I've already seen the outcome of it and why it would not work. And before she's even finished, sometimes it drives her nuts. Before she's even finishing her sentence, I'm already nodding my head. Why? Discernment. She has discernment. I have discernment. And thank God for people in the church who have enough Bible knowledge to discern and to see through problems and to see through to what the church ought to do. Boy, how many churches today have called the wrong pastor because the majority of the church was impressed by a personality, but they ignored those in the church. They said, "Well, I just don't think he's doctrinally right. Well, I think he's going to lead us in the wrong direction." Usually it's a very small percentage of people that actually have discernment, and the majority is fooled. But thank God for those who have enough biblical understanding to see through and to see through problems and to even see the future of what will turn out and have the discernment. There's the gift of organization. There was a time when almost all church Sunday schools were led by laymen who were superintendents and could organize and administrate Sunday schools running sometimes hundreds of people. Thank God for those who have a gift of organization. There's a gift of leadership. It's called government in the New Testament. The ability to oversee, the ability to manage, the ability to lead, the go-getters who get things done. There's the gift of empathy. Some folks just seem to have a little extra grace with those who are hurting and downcast, and the ability to touch their hearts and help them. That's a gift. Often it's those who have been through great heartache themselves who have the most empathy for others. There's the gift of preaching. There's the gift of exhortation. That's folks that are just extra encouraging. There's the gift of giving. You see, that's a gift. I don't have it. Y'all do the... No. What I mean by that is there are some people who are in the church that could never teach a Sunday school or hold many of the ministry titles we consider, but God has given them the ability to earn a good living and financially support the work of the church. Is that spiritual? It is when it's done for God. Amen. About the gift of evangelism. So all preacher evangelism is a command, not a gift. I understand that. Yes, we're all called to go and preach the gospel. We all know that. We just don't all do it. But there is a gift of the evangelist. And I do believe that though all of us are called to witness, there are some who are just obviously gifted and have a way of communicating and dealing with people and see tons of people saved throughout their ministry. And I've known some men that obviously had a tremendous gift concerning soul winning and evangelism. All right, I'll finish. How do I exercise my spiritual gifts? Get involved in your church and let the Spirit of God put you where He wants you to serve. Now, you may feel gifted to lead teenagers, but if you're really needed to teach the primaries, go ahead and surrender to teach the primaries, because that may be where God wants to put you. So that's not my comfort zone. Well, the comfort zone has nothing to do with what God wants to do in your life. God sometimes puts us out of our comfort zone so He can develop something in us so that He can use us further on down the road to do something else. And so, just be ready to do whatever God wants you to do. Ask the Holy Spirit to put you someplace in the church. Get in and serve. Get in and get involved. Has God given you a voice? Then join the choir. Sing a special. Do you have talents that could be used? Could you build something, repair something, paint something, fix something? You know, I think that those who have the abilities to do carpentry and things like that should maybe once a year say, you know what, I'm going to do something for my church once a year. I'm going to build something, fix something, paint something, remodel something. You say, is that spiritual? How is driving a hammer or cutting sheetrock spiritual? Is it done for God? Is it done for God? Then it's spiritual. Spiritual is not just preaching in the pulpit. Spiritual is not just teaching in a Sunday school class. If it's done for God with the talents God's given you, then it becomes spiritual. And thank God for those over the years who have repaired steeples, built walls, tiled floors, sheetrock walls, painted, wired lights, fixed air conditioners, built platforms, and the list never ends. But I consider that spiritual service and a spiritual gift as well. Now, God gave you these spiritual gifts at salvation. But for some of us, it's like there's a present under the tree, and every year it just sits there. We never open it. Why don't we open it up and see what God wants to do in our lives?